This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Noach. So I want to share with you two ideas, two very beautiful ideas, where we again visit the Parsha of the Mabul, Noach and the Flood. The Pasuk says that the whole world was destroyed. Why? It says the Pasuk in Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vatishoche Sa'aretz Lefnei Ha'olekim. The world was destroyed. This is the end of man. Now, Rashi on these psukim says, what did they do wrong? So there were, why was the world destroyed? So there was a lot of terrible things going on. The Rashi says, Vatishoches is Loshen Erva, Vavidazara. So there was immorality, there was idolatry going on. There was gezel, there was theft. And what was the catalyst? Why is the Kodesh Baruch Hu destroying the land? The catalyst was theft. Now that's a bit strange. The world had become so corrupt that there was idolatry, there was immorality, and it was theft, which was sort of the straw that breaks the camel's back. Why? So I saw an answer. There's a sefer called Migdash Halevi, who was written posthumously by, I think, the family, Rabbi Yosef Sivi Duna. He was here in London, of course. That's Abba Duna's father, Dayan Aaron Duna's father. It's a lovely sefer. And I saw the same answer in Rabbi Yaakov Bender's sefer on Chumash. And he says the following. They both point to a medrash. Take a look at the medrash, the fourth box on the page. If you're listening online, email me please at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Says the medrash. This is a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Lamdal of Simen Hay. Kol kach lomo. Why is it that the world was destroyed because of gezel? Ki mola haaretz chomos mipneihem. Says the medrash, ezu chomos ve'ezu gezel. What were they doing wrong? What was this chomos, this violence, and what was the gezel? So Omer b'chanina, chomos ein eshava pruta. Chomos is when the theft involved small amounts, things which were not shava pruta. The gezel shava pruta. The kach hoyu anshe hamabul esim. This is the practice. This is what they would do in the Dor HaMabul. Hoyu echod mehem moitzi kuposa melea tur mesim. One of them would bring out a big jar, a big bowl of tur mesim. Tur mesim are beans. Imagine you go to Machane Yehuda, you go to the shuk. And people are selling lots, they've got their wares out in these big stands, and people are selling nuts and beans and things like that. And a guy would come along, and he'll take a few peanuts, he'll take a few garanim, a few beans. This guy would come and take. I can't sue the guy, because it's pachas mishavet pruta. It's less than that small amount. Shavet pruta is a minimal amount, whatever it is, 5p, 10p, it's a small amount. So if it's such a small amount, I can't sue the person. It's not technically theft. So Omni HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atim Osisim Shalei Kashura, you, Dor HaMabul, are not behaving correctly, you're doing things, you're stealing small amounts, Af Ani Eseh Mochim Shalei Kashura, I will also do for you not kashura, not appropriate. Otherwise, I'm going to just destroy you. You're going underhand, I will go underhand. Now, let's do this Migdash HaLevi. In Mevakshim Onu Lahovin Es Oimek Chetom, if we want to understand the depths of what they were doing wrong, and the explanation, the reason for this terrible punishment, the whole world was destroyed. In light of the above medrash, we'll be able to understand it. Had the people at the time of the Mabul been stealing a Shove Pruta, you could have hoped that sooner or later they'll think about what they've done. They'll think this is wrong. How can we steal from another person? In other words, imagine you've got a teenager who suddenly gets a bit older. He's now 16 or 17 years old, and he thinks to himself, "When I was younger, when I was a few years ago, I would go down to the shop. And I would pinch something here and there. He would shoplift. The crazy things that kids do. Not so unusual. And then he gets a bit old and he's thinking, this is crazy. So what would he do? What may he do? At one point when his conscience, is awakened, he'll think, look, I stole 10 bars of chocolates over the year. So I'll take a £10 note and I'll put it in an envelope. I'm too embarrassed to give it to the shopkeeper. But I'll put it under his door and I'll put a note. This is for the things that I've stolen. So he knows it. But that's only true if he's stolen something which is worth a pruta. If someone steals something which is not a shovel pruta, he'll think, well, I haven't done anything wrong. I was in Tesco's, I stole a grape. I was in Ben Yehuda, I was in Machan Yehuda, and I just stole a few garinim. No, people do that. Says the Migdash HaLevi, Yovinu kira darkum yachzur b'tshuva. A person who's stolen a shovel pruta will do tshuva. Yoshiva sagdela shebi yodam. There's a possibility that he'll return that which he stole. Ulam me'ach v'hem gozu pachz mishovel pruta. But since the Darah Mabel stole less than the shovel pruta, v'al pi adin lo ha'im mechuvim lahachzir, and halachically they did not have to give anything back. You didn't have to give back the garanim that you stole. Harishim imelo ha'yu heim tzadikim be'inehem. So that in their own eyes, they did nothing wrong. They were tzaddikim. T'chushasam ha'isoki makvalsu. What have I done wrong? I haven't done anything wrong. They won't even register they've done anything wrong. V'kashezu ha'tchusha harishat shuvan nimnas ve'ein sikulu tekanaderech. There's no way they're ever going to repair the bad which they've done. L'fichoch, next paragraph. Lo hoya mokum lahamtin l'tshuvasam sh'bnei ha'dar mabul. There's no point in waiting for the tshuva of the dar ha'mabul. She'kein boru hoya sh'tshuva zu lo tovu l'olam. It's never going to come. There's no way they're going to hope to do tshuva. Okay, and that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu decided I'm going to destroy the world, because there's no point waiting. They're never going to do tshuva. They don't realize they've done anything wrong. Okay, now with that, he says beautifully, that can explain the Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Why? The Mishnah says, next paragraph, you know, we're familiar. We've got, the Gabbah's had a busy season the last month. So the Gabbah, how many Mishnah Berachos have they made over the last few weeks? A lot. Yeah, with all the davening. There is a concept of Mishnah. What is a Mishnah Berach? A guy gets an aliyah. So you stand up and you say, Mishnah Berach, Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yakov, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave a bracha to Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yakov, who Yevarech, S, whoever got the aliyah, etc. There is actually an opposite of Mishnah Berach, a public curse. It's called the Mishnah Pora. Look at this, it's the Mishnah. We don't do it, and it's not so well known, thankfully. But there is something out there. Omru, Mishnah Pora me'anshidor ha'mabul or midor ha'flogo. The person, Ayakadosh Baruch Hu, who gave retribution, who punished the dor ha'mabul, the generation of the flood, and the generation of the dispersion, who osid lipora me'misha ino omididibura. He should punish a person who doesn't keep his word. What's the connection? Why are you punishing the guy who doesn't keep his word by saying the person who punished the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFlogo, should also punish the person who doesn't keep his word? Says the Migdash HaLevi, Rav Duna, beautiful. Ulam al pi ha-mispayer ha-dvarim nifloim. We're talking about a person who didn't keep his word. Legally, halachically, you can't do anything against him. He never signed the contract. So he didn't sign the contract, he didn't give the money, he didn't make the kinyan. So therefore, halachically, he's not bound. He just said something. So halachically, I can't force him. Aha. What have I done wrong? I didn't sign the contract. Yes, I committed to buy the item, to sell the item, to whatever. I didn't sign the contract. So what have I done wrong? I'm a tzaddik, I'm Yosha. So too, the Dor HaFlogo, the Dor HaMabul, like we said, in their eyes, they didn't do anything wrong. That's the connection. That's why it's Misha Pora, because the two are linked. The guy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is going to punish the Dor HaMabul because they in their own eyes think they did nothing wrong and they're never going to do tshuva. So too, a person who says things but doesn't keep his word, he doesn't think he's done anything wrong. Halachically, I'm in the right. Okay, Peseda, that's the explanation. Now, so you and I may think, Peseda, we say things, we keep our words, we don't go around Machane Yehuda stealing garinim, or going to the Tesco's or wherever and picking a grape and eating it before we pay for it. But Rav Benda brings the following story, which it gives food for thought. He said that one time Rabbi Yashiv was walking, and he sees and he's stopping at the lights before he crosses the lights. The lights red, and they've got the what's it called, the red figure, the red man. So you can't walk. And the guy looks around. There's no cars there. He crosses the road. I don't know you, but I'm sure I've done this 100 times. So the Rabbi Yashiv looks at this fellow, and he says to him, "Ritzicha, murder. You're crossing the road when it's the red man, it's the red figure." So the guy looked at Rabbi Yashiv and he says, "But there's no cars around, what's the problem?" He says, "This time there's no cars around." He says, "But if someone saw you do this, that will show a certain sort of flippancy towards crossing the road when there's a red man. And this time there are no cars around, but who knows where it could lead?" Which is an interesting way of looking at things. And therefore, a person with vision can see beyond the little tumesim, the little beans, the little garinim. You can see that when society sort of chips away at human decency, and even though legally they've done nothing wrong, then that is sort of, that shows a certain breakdown in community. And with that, Rav Bender, by the way, explains a very geshmaka Rashi. If you look at the end, the pasuk says, Rashi says at the end, "V'chi'ezu kasha, shadar ha-mabul shadar ha-flaga." Which was worse? There were two generations. There was a dar ha-mabul, who, as we said, Arias, Avodah Zarah, and Gezel was the catalyst. And then there was a dar ha-flaga. The dar ha-flaga was the dispersion. They built the Tower of Bavel. They sort of built ladders to Shemayim. They rebelled against Hashem, but they weren't destroyed. So which generation is worse? Says Rashi, "Eilu lo poshtu yad be'ikka." The dar ha-mabul, they didn't rebel against God. "Ve'eilu poshtu yad be'ikka," but the dar ha-flaga did. Kaviyochi v'lochim bo, they tried to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. "Ve'eilu nishtafu," but yet the dar ha-mabul was destroyed. They were washed away. "Ve'eilu lo nevdum le'ilam," but the dar ha-flaga weren't. So Rashi gives his explanation. But one of the explanations is, "El adar ha-mabul hay gazlonim v'yisim riva b'neim," etc., etc. But in light of what we've said above, now we understand. The dar ha-flaga were openly rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were building towers to heaven. And therefore they knew what they were doing was wicked. And therefore there's a possibility, maybe they'll turn around and say, "I was wrong." Maybe they'll do tshuva. But the dar ha-mabul, they were stealing less than shavah pruta. In their eyes they were tzaddikim. They did nothing wrong. And therefore there's no hope they're going to do tshuva because they're tzaddikim in their own eyes. So with that you can answer the same question again. So really what they're both saying is that it's the culture of theft which is so devastating, and ultimately when you chip away in a small way in these small areas of society, then that, you know, that sort of slow erosion of decency can actually, you know, cause a society to actually fall into disrepair. Okay, let's move on with one other idea, an amazing idea. Last week's sedra, this week's sedra, they're long sedras. But they're long sedras because they contain a lot of names. Interestingly, we know there are 10 generations between Adam Rishon and Noach, and between Noach and Avraham Avinu. But if you look in the sedra, in this week's sedra and last week's sedra, they're recorded in a different way. And it's very intriguing. We know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos compares the two, but look at the way that the parsha declares them. This is last week's parsha. Vayechi Sheis. This is just one example. This is one example of the 10 generations between Adam and Noach. Vayechi Sheis Chomesh Shalim Ma'as Shana. Sheis was 805 years old. Vayoled Es Enosh, and he gave birth to Enosh. Vayechi Sheis Achre Yolid Es Enosh Sheva Shalim Shmoyne Me'as Shana Vayoled Bonim Bonis. And then he lived a certain number of years after he gave birth. And then Vayukolim Sheis he died at 912 years. And it carries on like that. In other words, in last week's Sedra, the Torah tells us three facts. Number one, how old the man was when he became a father. Number two, how many years he lived after he became a father. And number three, the total number of years that he lived. This week's parasha, which also lists 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, it listed in a very different way, different facts. Ve'ele told us bnei Noach, shem chom v'yofes, bnei Yafes, goymer, amogeg, umodav, v'yovan, etc. U'bnei goymer, ashkenaz. It just lists the generations. Now, there are different listings in this week's parasha. The Ramban deals with it. But here, you don't have those three facts. It just lists the generations. Why? Why is it in last week's parasha we're listing these three facts, how old they were when they first became a father, how many years they lived after that point, and how old the grand total of their life. And in this week's parasha, they just list the generations done. So Rabbi Leff said something very, very interesting. This is an article he wrote in Parshas Bereishis. He says something astonishing. There's a Rambam. The Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Melachim, it's a critical Rambam. Those people, he said, who are interested in learning what life is going to be like when Mashiach comes. It's an interesting area. People want to calculate when is Mashiach going to come. Says the Rambam, if you look at paragraph 2b, V'chol elu hadvarim v'chiyetzi bohen, lo yeida odom eich yiyu acheyu. No one is going to be able to work out what life is going to be like when Mashiach comes until it actually happens. Shedavarim susumim hein etzel ha-Naviim, because these things were concealed from the Naviim. Gam ha-Chachomim ein lohem kabbalah b'dvarim elu. Even the Chachomim have no kabbalah, no mesorah regarding these things. Ve'ein dvarim el ikka b'das, they're not essential. It's not the central tenets of our faith. Ve'lo yosimim ikka, don't make them central. Listen to here comes the key words. She'ein mevi'in lo lidei yira v'lo lidei ahava. Because it's not going to bring you close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of yira shemayim and avas Hashem. You see from this Rambam that the whole of Torah is meant to bring a person to Avas Hashem, to Yirah Shemayim. And if it doesn't do that, then it's not really Limud HaTorah. You see the whole purpose of learning, the whole purpose is to create that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Yirah Shemayim and Avas Hashem. That explains an interesting comment of Dan Abramsky in Megillas Esther. At the very end of Megillas Esther, the Pasuk says, V'chol ma'aseh tok v'gvuroso u'parshas gedulas Mardechai shegidlu ha-melech, all the grandeur that happened to Mardechai, halehim kesuvim al sefer divrei hayom l'melech l'malchei modei paras. Which means, you want to know what happened to Mardechai and all the great things and the cover that he got, check out the history books of modei paras. Has anyone seen these history books? Says Dan Abramsky, you know what the Megillah is telling us? Don't think the Megillas Esther is a history book. Torah is not a history book. Torah is meant to bring a person the Yira La'ahava. And if you want to know history, so go study the history books of Modei Paras. Maybe there's interesting things there, etc. But that's not what Megillas Esther is about. So you see from this Rambam, you see from this idea of Dan Abramsky, that Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, the whole of Torah is meant to bring a person to Yira Shemayim and Avas Hashem. It's not a history book, it's not just recording information. That explains our problem, the 10 generations between Adam and Noach and Noach and Avram. Why? Because the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, and there it contrasts the two listings, but the parallel Mishnah in Avos to Reb Nosson, look at the bottom box, it tells me why the Torah lists it. Asara Doros me Adam ad Noach, the 10 generations from Adam to Noach in last week's Edra, lohudia kamech hapayim lefonov, to show how slow to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that the generations are getting so degenerate that they're up to Avodah Zarah and Arias and Gezel are going to destroy a world. But look how long it took HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do that. It shows his patience, his Erech HaPayim. Shekol HaDoros Sorechim Es Maaseim HaShehev HaMakom Es Mei Mamabal Aleihem. Asor HaDoros Menoach and Avraham, however, the 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, that's different. Ma Talmud Lo Mel Asor HaDoros HaYusruchim Es Maaseim HaShehev Avraham HaHolach Bedrochov. Those 10 generations are to teach us that Avram Avinu comes along and gets the reward of the last 10 generations. If that's the case, then the listings are going to be very different because they have different objectives. The first 10 generations are to teach me how Kadosh Baruch is slow to anger. So you know what he does? The Torah tells me, look how old he was when he had his first child. Look how many years he lived after he had that first child. Look at the grand total number of years he was on this earth. That highlights the point that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Erech HaPayim. But the next thing is all you need to know is there are 10 generations. Avraham Avinu comes and takes the schar of the whole lot. So just list the generations. You see that the Torah is not just a history book. It's meant to teach a person Yirah Shemayim. There's a famous anecdote that Rabbi Leff brings. There was a fellow called Professor William Bertrand. He was a professor of ethics in City College in New York. And he was known to live a very immoral life, to the extent that one time the university board called him in and they took him to task. How can you be the professor of ethics if you're living a very unethical life? So he said, listen to his defense. His defense was, if I was a professor of geometry and mathematics, would you require me to be a triangle or a compass? So just because I'm the professor of ethics, I've got to be ethical? That is not a very Jewish response. Because to teach Torah, to you've got to practice what you preach. And if you don't, you're not a worthy disseminator of Torah. Simple. Mordechai Gifter used to say, we call a person who knows a lot of Torah a Talmid Chacham. What's Pshat Talmid Chacham? He is a student to that wisdom. It's the wisdom that guides that person. You can be as great as you can be, but you're always a Talmid of that Chacham. It's a simple idea. It's a very important idea. And that also, by the way, explains the difference that the concept of Ein Mukdam Mamukha B'Torah. If it's a history book, so you're going to write it chronologically. Chapter 1 is this decade. Chapter 2 is this decade. But the Torah is not a history book. So of course, you know, ideally we try and go in a systematic chronological way. But it's okay to be out of order because it's not a history book. It's meant to teach Yir Shamayim and Avas Hashem. And therefore, that explains the discrepancy of the 10 generations, how they're recorded in the Torah, the difference between this week's Sedra and last week's Parsha. Okay, so what have we got? Two ideas that we had time for this evening. The first is this idea of Rabbi Dunah and also Lahav Mechaim Mechaim of Yaakov Bender. Why is it that despite there seemed to be very grave crimes in the time of the Mabul, it was Gezel which was the catalyst? The answer is because the Medrash says what they were doing wrong is they were taking less than a pachas shavim bruta, which means they were taking something which halachically you can't sue the person. So in their eyes, they were okay, they were tzaddikim, and there's no hope of them doing tshuva. And it's those little things which actually can sort of peck away at society, which can bring a whole society down. And that explains the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, which says that Omer Misha Parah Me'anshei Dor HaMabul Me'dor HaFlaga Hu Asid Li Parah Misha Inam Emet B'Diburei. Emet B'Diburei, what's he done wrong? I haven't signed the contract, I just gave a word, what's a word? You can't sue me. That's exactly the point, he's not going to do tshuva. And that explains the difference between the Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga. The Dor HaMabul was destroyed. The Dor HaFlaga, there's a possibility they can do tshuva, even though they're rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the second idea, or left, beautiful idea, the 10 generations between Avram, between the Adam and Noach, and Avram, the difference in the way they're recorded highlights the point that their objectives of each one is very different. And really, to highlight the point, like the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Melachim, the Torah is meant to bring a person to Yir HaShemayim and Avas Hashem. Okay. We'll leave it there. See
you. You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.